Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse number 18 and read through the rest of the chapter. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 18. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear, they are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning, as for an only son, most bitter lamentation. For the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron, they are all corrupters. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed of the fire, the founder melted in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. We find here in these verses the rejectors of God's word rejected by God. They rejected the word of the Lord, and he now says he has rejected them. We are reminded of what Paul said to the Thessalonians there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when he said, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And so we're reminded that we need to take heed to the words of the Lord, not make light of it, not reject the teaching and preaching of it, not set it aside, not allow other things to take preeminence over the truth, not just that we hear it with our ears, but that we obey it from the heart. You recall that the people to whom Jeremiah was sent to prophesy had no delight in the word of God. You find that back up in verse 10 of this same chapter, where that the Lord says, behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. There was nothing that God had to say that they liked or wanted to hear. And so they just cast God's word aside. They rejected it. In verses 16 and 17, as we had previously noted, God had said unto them, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And so they rejected the word of the Lord. And now God said, because they have rejected my words, now I have rejected them. And so he describes this here, and the judgment that shall come upon them in these verses, In verse 18 and 19, he said, "Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth." And so he calls Israel and Judah and Jerusalem wouldn't hear. Well, now he calls on everybody else, as it were, to take notice. He said, "Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words nor to my law, but rejected it." And so he calls attention to the fact that he was bringing judgment upon them, and all would be a witness to it. Remember how the Bible tells us, judgment must begin at the house of God. A lot of people say, "Well, why isn't God, you know, doing something about this, that, or the other?" Well, God does a lot of things that He doesn't get credit for. And most of the time, people have no idea what God is doing. God's given us a book that tells us the will, the plan, the purpose of God, and people don't want to pay attention to that. But we find that people say, "Well, how come God doesn't do something about this, that, and the other?" The real question is, why won't you do what God tells you to do? And God said that as far as judgment is concerned right now, that's beginning with His people. Judgment begins at the house of God. Now, Israel refused to hearken to the word of the Lord. He said, "They have rejected my words and my law, and they would not be the light and the witness of righteousness and the true and living God to the heathen nations, so they would instead be an example of judgment." Look in 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. You see, this is still true, that with respect to people's lives, and especially those that claim to be servants of the living God, followers of Jesus Christ, you know, their lives can either be an example of what to do or what not to do. Now, our lives ought to be an example of what to do. People ought to be able to look at us, and they ought to be able to follow our example and not have to instead look at us and say, "Well, whatever you do, don't be like them." But notice in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. Mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil." And so you see, that's what was about to take place, that Jeremiah was prophesying of, that God was going to reject his people and even reject the house that bore his name because in reality it no longer brought honor and glory unto his name. It's kind of like how during Jesus' day, you know, they acted like they were all upset, you know, and mad. They feigned, they had worked up phony anger and phony indignation against the Lord Jesus. They said, oh, he said he'd destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. He blasphemed against the house of God. What had they done? Remember what Jesus said, ye, my Father's house, you've turned into a den of thieves. And so, it ceased to be the house of God. No matter what it was supposed to have been, that's kind of like a lot of churches. They've ceased to be the house of God. Might say church or something else on the sign or on the outside. It might be what people look at it as. But you know, God looks at things not as man does. And so we find here, and then turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. And so you see this, they were going to be an example of judgment. People were going to walk by or pass by and see and say, what happened here? Why did God do this? Well, the answer was going to be because they forsook the Lord. Wouldn't hearken unto him. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And so you see here what the Lord said. And he says, and the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. And so God had told them this. Now he says, here he says, they've not hearkened unto my words. He said, they're going to receive the fruit of their thoughts. You know what the fruit is, right? I mean, the Bible says a lot about fruit. We understand what fruit is talking about. Fruit is what is the final result. What's the outcome? What does what was planted and watered and fertilized, what ends up being the result? Right? The fruit. Right? You put a plant in your garden, whether it's cucumber plant, tomato plant, zucchini plant, the point of it is the fruit of it that's produced. Well, as far as human lives and human behavior are concerned, fruit starts, the seed is planted with thoughts, isn't it? That's why God looks at the thoughts of the heart. He knows right at the very outset what kind of seed it is. What's going to come of it? Well, here what he says is, I'm going to bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. In other words, he says, they're going to reap what they have sowed. They had not sown in righteousness. How do you know that? Well, because the only way you can do that is by taking heed unto the Lord and obeying him. And he said, they have not hearkened unto my words nor to my law, but rejected it. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I think what I'm doing is all right. Well, if it does not line up with the word of God, it's all wrong. That's just how it is. It's all wrong. It's not all right. It's not right at all. It's wrong. The only thing that is right is the truth. That's the word of God. You should know that if you're saved. And we have to be reminded, you know, sometimes we start to approve of things that we shouldn't approve of. Whether in our own lives or somebody else's. Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. But you see, they rejected God's word. He said they've rejected it. They said, we'll not hearken, we'll not walk therein. They had no delight in it. It was a reproach to them. He said, they have not hearkened to my words and my law, but rejected it. Now, think about it like this. When someone, you know, we all understand this from the natural standpoint. Then all of a sudden, when it comes to the Word of God, we get this big mental block where it's like, well, I just don't get it. But you see, every one of you has given advice to somebody at some point. Sometimes whether they wanted it or not. But you've given advice to somebody and you've given them counsel. You've said, well, you need to do this and not do that. And they either listened or they didn't. And you see, we understand that, humanly speaking, it's kind of like, you know, maybe a young person, you know, gets their driver's license and you tell them, you know, now don't speed and don't drive like this and be sure to be careful and do this and that. And then first thing you know, they've scratched up their car or, you know, they went in a ditch or maybe they got a speeding ticket or, you know, whatever the case happened to be. You say, well, they didn't listen to my advice. Or, you know, perhaps in other things. Well, God says, listen to my word. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. In other words, they wouldn't listen to God. They rejected his words. He said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And so you see here, that's what the Lord is saying through Jeremiah at this time. He says that they're going to have the fruit of their own thoughts because they wouldn't hearken unto my words or my law, but rejected it. Now, in verse 20, he said, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? So what's he talking about? Remember Sheba, that was a long ways away. Right? Remember the queen of Sheba? She came, you know, from far, the Bible says, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And he said, and this sweet cane from a far country. This didn't grow naturally in their land, or they didn't have this as a crop. They had to import it from far away. Well, you see, they would obtain these things. And then they would bring them, you know, into the offerings of and the offering up of their sacrifices. And they said, oh, we've brought these, we've obtained these things from far away to give to the Lord. He said, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Hypocritical religion and pretentious worship from false hearts is not accepted by God. It's much like what Jesus said to the Pharisees when he said, "Woe unto you." He said, "You tithe mint and anise and cumin." He said, "But you've left off the weightier matters of the law. Righteousness, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, not to left the other undone." Now, you see, hypocritical religion, showy pretense of worship, these things may fool and impress and win the applause and the approval of people. You know, people are easily impressed. All of us are easily impressed. Right? Somebody, and you may not be impressed by the same thing that impresses me. That's not what I'm saying. But we're all easily impressed by something. Somebody does something, we're like, "Oh, that was so wonderful. Could have been as phony as a $3 bill." God looks on the heart and does not see as man sees or judge as man judges. And so God said, "I don't accept any of this that you're offering up as worship. These burnt sacrifices are not acceptable. These sacrifices that, I don't care how much sweet cane you bring from how far it has to come and how much it costs." He said, "It doesn't make it sweet to me." In verse 21, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, and the neighbor and his friend shall perish." The fathers who taught their sons to be hypocrites and the sons who followed in the false ways of their fathers would perish together. The neighbor and his friend who had condoned each other's wickedness and encouraged each other in sin instead of reproving and seeking to turn one another to the right way would perish together. You know, this is a big deal in religion right now. There's all kinds of, you can have whole ministries in your so-called church around, you know, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, neighbors and friends. It's a big deal. It's very appealing. But you see, the fathers ought to have been setting godly example and instructing their sons in righteousness. The neighbors should have been spiritually benefiting each other, exhorting one another in the Lord. Reproving each other from sin. God said they're all going to perish together. He said, "I'll put stumbling blocks before them." The idea being is they were going to stumble and fall. God was not going to allow them to escape His judgment. You know, stumbling blocks, not a very big thing, is it? But you stumble over it and fall, you can get hurt real bad. You see, they wouldn't hear the truth, but they would listen to lies. They wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, they wouldn't listen to the Lord's prophets, they listened to the false prophets. Look in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. When's the last time you heard a message about that? But you see, what I'm saying here is the Lord said, He told them, He said, you're not to hate your brother in your heart and you're not to suffer sin upon your neighbor. He said, you shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor. Let's look in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verses 19 and 20. He said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know what we do? Somebody's going down the wrong way. Oh, I can't say anything to about them. They'll be mad at me. I want them to be my friend. What kind of a friend are you? What kind of a friend would you be? You say, well, yeah, I knew that stumbling block was there in front of you. You were probably going to trip over and fall and get hurt. Be out of work for 6 months. Go on, you know, disability. End up losing your job, have to sell your car. Oh, that'd be terrible. Yeah, well, what if the stumbling block is sin? That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing that can happen to anybody. Because if they aren't recovered from it, you know what happens with sin? They get hardened in it. You know how it ends up is, see, then we try to talk to folks, and we're just like Lot trying to talk to his sons-in-law. They just look at us like, you know, we're cuckoo or something. We must be, you know, we're just a little bit off that day, or maybe we're joking. You know, they to him he seemed, remember it says, to them he seemed as one that mocked. You know, he's there telling them, we got to run for your lives, get out of this city, don't look back, it's about to be destroyed. And they're just like, yeah, good one, father-in-law Lot. But you see, this was the condition that they were in. Now in verse 22 through 26 here in Jeremiah chapter 6, the Babylonian invasion is once again foretold and described. And they had never faced such an enemy, and they would be shown no mercy. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. You Now, they'd had enemies. I mean, if you read through their whole history, it seemed like they're almost constantly fighting or being assaulted or being attacked from somewhere. Right? They get into the land of Canaan, and they have their enemies, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Philistines, the Canaanites that they failed to drive out of the land, then the Syrians, the Egyptians. But they'd never seen trouble like this. And they would be overwhelmed with fear and despair, bitterness, sorrow, anxiety, and complete loss. It says, verse 24, we've heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field and walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. They couldn't even go out into the fields. They couldn't go out and take a walk. For fear for their lives. He said, O daughter, my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. You see, they had refused to mourn with godly sorrow over their sins unto repentance. They were going to mourn with worldly sorrow, and there wouldn't be any remedy for it. Remember, the sorrow of the world worketh death. They were going to have the greatest degree of sorrow and loss. He said, as if for an only son. Like he said, they had one and only son that died. That much grief and sorrow. He said, wallowing in the ashes. Making bitter lamentation and weeping. Remember, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But they had refused to hearken to the word of the Lord. You know, God was still being gracious. Because here they are. This hadn't happened yet. They were still being warned. They were being warned how bad it was going to be. You know, God tells people how bad it's going to be. And you know what they do? They just get mad. Right? They're like, oh, that's, you shouldn't preach that. God's telling you the truth. He's warning. But we find here, and then in the closing verses of this chapter, God uses an illustration of metallurgy. You know, metal, the science of metals, metalworking, and refining. And he says in verse 27, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people that thou mayest know and try their way. Jeremiah is being told here by the Lord. He said, I've made you like a tower and a fortress among my people, like a watchtower to be able to see how things really are, and also as a fortress. In the midst of this wicked people, he would see and cause to be uncovered their way, the truth of their way. He would not bend to the pressure to conform to the pleasure of the hypocrites. He would not be overcome by the false prophets. Or the stubborn people. And he would be a witness unto and against them, and God would protect him. And his message that he would proclaim would, he said, would make known and try their way. God's word reveals. God's word pierces and reaches down to the heart. You know, how stark a contrast does one righteous and godly person and true and faithful witness in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, you know, how stark of a contrast they cause. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, we can't do anything. You know, we're too small, or we're too few, or we're too weak, or whatever the case may be. You know, it only takes one light in a dark room to bring light. And so, now what would Jeremiah's ministry uncover? Well, he gives the example here in verse 28, 29, 30. He said, they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. And then he begins to use the illustration from the practice of refining metals. He said, they are brass and iron, they are all corruptors. What he's saying is, he says the rebelliousness that lived and worked in the hearts of the people, and that was the cause of God's judgment against them, right? It was going to be exposed by Jeremiah's ministry. And he said they're grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They're all corruptors. He said they're brass and iron, right? This was a mixture of metals. And they were like corrupted metal that's of no worth and is discarded. You know what happens, how metal is made, right? They'll take, they mine ore out of the earth, but then also they'll take things, you know, old cars and stuff, and they put it into the furnace or whatever, and it's melted down, right? And then, well, that metal has to be of a certain consistency to be useful for anything, right? If it's got too much of one component, not enough of another, right? Then that's why, like, sometimes with different products, you know, like an automobile, right? They might have what's called a recall because some part on that automobile isn't working properly, or it's breaking down before it's supposed to. Well, see, with metal, that can be the case too, right? If it's not made of the right materials, well, it won't hold up. It won't, or it'll rust prematurely, or whatever the case happens to be. And so he says here in verse 29, the bellows are burned. You know what the bellows are? That's that, you know, thing that they use, and it fans, you know, it puffs the air. You know, the old-fashioned ones. But you know, it takes oxygen for a fire, right? You blow on it and it increases the heat. And he says the bellows are burned. Says they fanned and fanned the fire. The refiner, he worked the bellows. He said, and the lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melted in vain. He's describing the metalworking process and the refining process. He says they heated it up enough. They got as hot as they could to melt it. He said the lead was used as they call it a flux. I understand. Basically what it has to do with is that's they would put in the lead, and the lead would draw out the other impurities. So they could separate it, right? Because different types of ore, different types of metals have different weights and so on. And so that it would draw off the dross, the impurities. He said, well, they've done this. He said, and it didn't do any good. He said, for the wicked are not plucked away. He said, reprobate silver shall men call them. It's like silver that it doesn't matter how much the refiner worked, how hot he got the flames and the fire there in the refining fire and the furnace. And he said the lead was consumed. He said, but all that's left is dross. The silver wouldn't be refined. It was bad quality ore. He said, the wicked are not plucked away. It was all dross. He said they're like reprobate or worthless silver. Right? It just gets thrown out. Couldn't be refined. Look in Isaiah chapter 1. I mean, we've been preaching through the prophets for some time now. We started after we had finished our studies in the Kings and the Chronicles. That's been quite a while back. They had all these prophets. God's word being preached. He said, the wicked are still not plucked away, still not refined, still not removed. Isaiah chapter 1. He said in verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. I mean, they were so bad, he's calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or the goats or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my corpse? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross. Thy wine mixed with water. Look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. You see, he said to reprobate silver. He said it was refined and refined and refined. But it just turned out to be nothing but dross. Ezekiel 22, verse 17, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. You know, the Bible says that the Lord sits as a refiner of silver. And it ought to be that He's sanctifying us and cleansing us that we might be holiness unto the Lord and bring forth righteousness. But you see, these, He said there, they're just going to be melted in the furnace because the refiner can't find anything worth keeping. So that's all dross. It's all impurities. It's all corrupt. He said they're grievous revolters, slanderers. And so he describes here the case. He says, he starts out, right? He says, they've rejected my word. Back in verse 19, now he says in verse 30, the Lord hath rejected them. Oh, let us not be despisers of the word of God. You know, ultimately, the word of God isn't just words on a page or words coming out of a preacher's mouth, because the Word of God is ultimately who? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that His name? The Word of God? Because this book points us to Him and makes God's people to be like Him. Right? We are changed from glory unto glory, the Bible says. It's God's purpose that we be conformed to the image of His Son. How's that accomplished? By the Word of God. Right, James said, receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Right, we heard about the meek today, this morning. Well, we're to be meek before God's Word. God's Word is to, we're to defer to God's Word. We're to humble ourselves before God's Word. We're to accept what God's Word, you know, we're going the wrong way. God's Word says, whoa, we're saying, okay, I'm going to turn. Which way do you want me to turn, Lord? And so, may God help us that we may take heed unto His Word, unto the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. So may God bless you. Let's bow our heads.